Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Absolutely brilliant. This is what it says in Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities." Let me show you a picture. This is a picture of a picture, so it's a little bit faint. But can you see this picture? This is a cutting from a newspaper. The person, this side here, this is Albert Garner, who was the previous minister. And this lady here is Naomi Shearman. It's 1978, this photograph, and Naomi Shearman is 92 years old. The previous minister, he was for 38 years. And this is the day, if you look carefully, this is the day that they opened the door to this building for the first time. The founder of the church, Naomi Shearman, and the residing pastor of the church, standing together united, open. If you look carefully, it's still the same doors. Just a lick of paint. Like, the doors are bigger just because we've got about 15 layers of paint on them. 1978. Incredible. So this lady here, Naomi Shearman, and her sister were living in Canada when God spoke very clearly to Naomi and said, "If you move to England and plant a church, I will heal your sister." Her sister was severely handicapped, disabled, and it was impossible. Doctors had given up completely. But Naomi listened to God, emigrated to England, to the city of Gloucester, and started a church in her home. She converted one of her rooms and put pews in it. Literally created a room, a church, in her house. And God healed her sister. Did you hear that? The obedience. This church was founded on faith. Founded on faith. In 1975, approximately that, this is the book by the previous minister. Let me read from page 112. "After much prayer and searching, the city council brought to my attention the last building that was still standing on a certain site where the army camp had been. He said it was due for immediate demolition. It had no windows, had a shattered roof, the floors were in a bad state, as this was, or had been, a place for homeless men. I observed the lands around the building. There wasn't a house to be seen. It looked like a wilderness. I felt it was the will of God to purchase this building. Some commented that we would then lose half our congregation. It became a real testing time, but the Lord indicated that he had raised up a group of people whose heart he had touched to be with me." Listen, he raised up a group of people whose heart he had touched to be with me. So we decided to go for it. "My close friends advised me to leave it alone, but God gave me this scripture, 'My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of strangers they will not hear.'" A derelict building in a wilderness, and God said, "Go and rebuild it." And we, today, enjoyed some marvellous worship, some incredible stories from some young people, because of the sacrifice of a congregation in 1970s who built this so that we can enjoy it for his glory. Isn't that incredible? It was a statement of faith in the Spirit too, a city on the hill. Even this morning as we were praying, we looked out from our window. And from our window, you can see the whole city. And one of the leaders remarked how the sun was shining on the city. He said, wow, look at that. What a view we have from this place on the city. And we have dined on the faith and sacrifice of that generation. I thank God for Naomi Shearman and for Albert Garner, who brought us here. By the way, I've got a couple of copies of book that I'm going to give out for free. So at the end of the service, come and see me. First two people get it. And if you say it's not fair because I sat at the back, turn up early next week and sit at the front. As we have grown, the vision has grown. And now we're on the cusp of launching a crazy, in man's eyes, impossible, so it has to be a God-given vision. This is the vision, that we are going to plant a church on every junction of the M5. Can you get your head around that? We're going to plant a church on every junction of the M5. And I'm absolutely convinced there are people in this room whose God is calling to help with this incredible adventure. There are people in this room who are going, I think I could plant a church. Great, because you're in the right place. You are growing right now for this opportunity to happen. There's some people here going, I could never plant a church. Well, you don't know what God's growing inside of you. You may be the person who supports the person who plants the church in another junction of the M5. And you might go, well, that's not even me. Well, you might be the person who supports the person who supports the person who launches and plants the church on the M5. But you might say, well, God's coming to Gloucester. Well, you might be the person who replaces the person who goes to plant a church on a junction of the M5. There's space for everyone if you're prepared to listen and obey what God is saying. This is the most exciting and adventurous time we've ever had in the time of one church, in my knowledge and tenure here. Whoa. I can't help it. I'm driving down the M5. I was on a filthy night. Thursday night was filthy. Driving with Stu, we were driving down. It's horrible, wasn't it? Absolutely horrible. As soon as I got on the M5, I went, this is my patch. Junction 1, oh God, give us a church here. Junction 2, as it was clicking them down. I can't help it now. Even if I'm driving to Cheltenham, I'm going, give us a church here. Just nipping down to Bristol. At every junction, Lord, Stroud, Dursley, oh Lord, Taunton. Oh, yeah, Taunton. All the way. And I encourage you to do the same. It's a very simple prayer. As you drive up and down the M5, God gives a church here. Because if you plant a church, there'll be people who get to know Jesus. The whole point is not about having a church. It's about reaching out to people who don't know Jesus yet. And there's a limitation from just this box. We can go to many boxes around the up and down the M5. From this church, we have always served the children of the city. We've had excellent youth programs. You've seen a demonstration of that. We've consistently raised leaders. We've done so many mission trips. I've lost count of how many mission trips we've done. Who was part of the big push back in 2012? This is over 10 years ago. Like, the big push. That's where 100 of us got into 20 cars and drove to Belgium, like you do, in convoy, and did a mission and supporting our missionary friends in Belgium. Amazing. We've released Kennedy to plant 5 churches in Zimbabwe. He's on his 5th church now. How exciting is this? Am I more excited than you? That's the question. Like, yep. No, you're great, man. And planted our own churches in Canesham and Podsmead, repurposing the church in Bristol. And we've made some mistakes too. We tried to plant a church in Cam and it didn't work. And you just got to go, that's okay. We're learning and growing as we go along. Thousands of people over the years have responded to the gospel, hundreds baptized, hundreds have answered the call to ministry, thousands of children and youth have heard the gospel, all in this building and to the glory of God. And to God be the glory. Over the years, we have bolted bits on and knocked bits down. If you've been here for a while, you'd have seen, where's that gone? We didn't used to have a hole in that wall. That used to be a library bookstore, didn't it, at some point? Yeah, and we didn't used to have a hole in that wall either. And there used to be a door here to the kitchen. Anybody remember these things? Like, we've knocked things down and built things up and we've bolted things on. But we have now come to an impasse. The building is tired. And over the past few years, we've explored various options. How about the option of renovating a building in the city centre? We've looked at that option. How about buying some land and building something new in another part of the city? How about knocking this down and starting again? All these things we have thought about. And these options, whilst exciting, are very expensive, ranging from £7 million to £20 million. We'll be taking up an offering. Anyone who's got a spare £20 million in their pockets, please come and see me at the end. In a nutshell, we just can't stay as we are. And we can't put our head in the sand. And I'm like, well, God, I'm up for it. But here's the quick key question. God, what are you saying in this? What are you saying? Now, firstly, buildings aren't vision. They're just vehicle to help us achieve vision. All right? There's a big difference. If you're not careful, if you make a building a vision, you get something sorted out, and it's all sorted, and you're like, ah, that's not it. We must be really careful. But it is part of vision, but it's the vehicle to the vision. So what's the problem we're trying to fix? Well, one thing I'm absolutely clear on is we don't need a 1,000-seater. Our vision is to plant more churches. Honestly, I'd rather have 10 100-seaters than a 1,000-seater. I don't want an auditorium that's just left blank for 6 days. The other Sunday, about 18 months ago, while it was summer, I was standing outside in the car park. There was a group of people who were huddled by the tree, and they were having a smoke break. That's all right. I love that. Beyond them, there was a couple of tables where some families had, because they sat at the back, they got out quick and nabbed the table so they could have their lunch. And beyond that was the park area, the play area, with approximately 4,000 children milling all over it. And parents just standing around, thank you, council, for building that play area for us on a Sunday. People were standing, drinking coffee. I looked round at the hill, and it was blossoming and beautiful. Do you know, every now and again, I see deer on the hill. It's incredible, deer. And people walking dogs. Then I looked across, and because we're on the angle of the hill, you could see the city. I thought, why move from here? We are so blessed. As we are, we're so blessed. My pastor friends come here, and they are green-eyed at our positioning. It's very clear to me, we need to stay here. But if we stay here, that means we have to fix two things. Now stay with me, this is a bit practical. Number one, the building needs an overhaul. We can't just do nothing. We have to do something. It is broken to the place where it is either fix it or move. The car park needs sorting. The electrics need sorting. The flooring needs sorting. The toilets need sorting. Sorry about that. We need to maximise the use of space. Those are things we can't avoid. They need fixing, and we've got to get on with it. The second thing is, we need to make room for children. Our two services are packed with children every Sunday. We cannot get any more children in the room over there. We have to fix that. So these are the two problems we have to fix. We can only get a maximum of 50 children in that room over there. So, here are our plans. That's the space, the red line. That's what we own. We own that. And by the way, you know we're mortgage free. Everything you see is what we own because of the sacrifice of others. And this is what we plan to do. So this is the auditorium you're sitting in. We're going to turn it sideways. This is the annex building where the children meet. Have you noticed this bit in the middle? So the bit in the middle is going to be our new kids area. Two-story, where we're able to have two extra larger rooms to meet the need of our children. Joining the two buildings together. So I don't even know, but there is something this side of the wall. We're not going to mess with that. That's going to stay there. But everything from this wall to the end of the car park is going to be part of our new renovation. At the end of the service, there'll be a table here, a table here, and a table at the back with those plans so that you can have a nose and look for yourself where things are going and what we're trying to do. Okay? How exciting. And this is what it will look like when we're finished. That looks good, doesn't it? So this leaves us with two challenges. Three challenges. Number one, how much time I've got this morning. Number two, I've called these two challenges give and grow. Give. This will cost us £2.3 million. Which is, compared to what it could cost us if we did something else, is peanuts. Very expensive peanuts, more like cashew nuts, but nonetheless, compared with our options. Number two, this gives us exactly what we need. Now, the breakdown of that is the renovation to fix, if we do nothing. And nothing to do with the kids. If all we did is renovated this building, it would cost us £1.5 million to get it back up to scratch. All right? That's how much it costs. To build the kids section is £800,000. That's the breakdown of those two things. Now, we have saved £500,000 to get us going on this project. That's good. All right, so we've already got a step. Number two, we know, and we've been practicing and working this through, that we can keep doing what we're doing and service a mortgage for £1 million. Give or take 20 or 30 pence. So, challenge number one. Our first challenge is, can we raise £800,000? Can we do that? All right, it's all right. I'm not taking up an offering this morning. Your heart Some of you need to let your head catch up with your heart. All right? Some of you need to let your heart catch up with your head. That's why I'm saying, I'm telling you what the challenge is, because we're in it together, and I'm up for this. And I believe God's put it in your heart too. That's the give part. The second challenge is the grow. This project will take 12 months to complete. This also means, listen carefully, this also means we have to vacate this premises for 12 months. Challenge number two. I'm up for this. I am totally up for this. What I felt God say to me was, make sure people getting married get their weddings in before summer. Because if this goes to plan, in autumn 2024, this is going to happen. Challenge number one, to give. Challenge number two is to grow. And this is what I felt God say to me. Don't just rebuild. Rebuild and advance. Just don't focus on managing something. This is an opportunity to rebuild and advance. This isn't lockdown. In lockdown, we had to ditch Mission 2020. Because the government made us do this. There's only one government we're listening to here, and that is the government of heaven. And the government of heaven says, this is not lockdown, this is a time to rebuild and advance. We're applying our own rules. Also, think differently. I don't know if you've seen this picture before of the nine dots, where you have to join all nine dots without taking your pen off the paper. And many of us have seen this before. And the solution lies not trying to stay within the nine dots, but to go outside of the nine dots. And I believe the Holy Spirit is helping us to think differently. In this season that we're about to go to, the encounter, our Sunday, it can't be the same because the building is closed. So we've got to rethink, how are we going to do this? And what we have to do is, if we can't work on the encounter, there are two other aspects that are vitally important of our discipleship. Number one is our grow, and number two is our go. Encounter, grow, and go. This, the two things that are really important is we look after each other pastorally, that we care for one another, and we look out in that season, and we actively pursue the vision God has given us. This may slightly curtail us on our encounter, but we can still grow and go. This is a season that I believe, as we rebuild, we will also advance. We rebuild and advance. Now, those of you who like detail, I'm not going to give that to you right now. But we will outline a plan that helps work out through the questions, work out how this is going to go. How are we going to raise the money? How are we going to operate while the church is closed down? We are already working on those things right now. But they're too detailed to bring to this service right now. So stand with us and pray with us in this season. All I need from you is something in your heart. God, believe this. You've called us to this church, and this is our opportunity to be part of this rebuild and part of the advance. That's all I need from you right now. Honestly, guys, if we put our head in the sand on this, it's still going to cost us $1.5 million. Okay? We have to do this. We have to do this. We can't ignore it anymore. So we have to do this. And we've come up with the best options that we can. Here's the type of people we've been working with. I think we've got a list of some of the project. Like, these are the people we've already processed this with. Architects, topographical, ecology, mechanical, electric, drainage, highways, tree, acoustic, fire, structural, interior design, principal designer, ground surface survey, asbestos, VATA consultants. Can I just say the directors of this church, of One Church, have worked super hard behind the scenes. This is not a cowboy operation. We have worked really hard to get to this place. And we are presenting this to you because we believe God's called us to do this. And tomorrow we're going to go to the planners, city planners, and say, this is what God's put in our heart. Will you support us in the plans? I think this is an opportunity just for us for a moment. Just to, you'll have tons of questions. I get that. Come and see us at the tables afterwards and have a chat to us. But before we just move on, because I feel God's shown me what to do next in his scripture, can we just stand and pray for a moment, please? Can we just put the picture of the artist design back on, please? Father, this is our best ideas. And our best brains have worked on this in the hope that this will add value to our city and to the M5 vision to be a place of excellence that will serve the world, that will add value wherever we go. But this is just our best ideas. And we now humbly submit our best plans to you. And say, Heavenly Father, these are in your hands. We believe that as we step out in faith, you will provide miraculously. We believe that as we step out in faith, you will guide us in this season. As we step out of faith, that you will raise the people who outwork the vision. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please take your seats. For the last 10 minutes, can I just give you some pointers here? I actually wrote down, I was thinking about how Moses led the people of Israel from the Red Sea to the Jordan and the lessons that they learned in that season. Maybe we'll make this into a teaching series. For example, be careful not to miss the God opportunity. Is an example. I'm going to be jumping around all over the place here. So, number three, expect miraculous provision. Number four, the promised land was not the finished product. When they got there, they had more work to do. Number five, security and community over geography. Like, if your security is in this building, then you've forgotten what church is about. Security has to be in Christ and the community he's placed us in. But I want to focus on number two. Always follow the presence. Always follow the presence. In Deuteronomy 1 verse 33 it says this. God went out ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way that you should go. This is a picture in the Old Testament where the presence of God guided the Israelites, guided God's people through the wilderness. And it was a pillar of fire of night and a cloud by the day. And when it rested, the entire Israelite people camped in a big wagon wheel around the presence of God. They were all sectioned on different compass points, and basically they would pitch their tents so that they were all facing inwards towards the presence of God, which was in the center. That meant that every morning you'd get up and you'd come out of your tent and you'd stretch and you'd look up. The first thing you would see is the the presence of God in the middle. Yeah. Like you'd get out of your tent, because your tent is facing towards the center, you understand the circle and everybody facing, all their tents facing in. The first thing they'd do is they'd wake up and they'd look, is the presence of God there? And they knew if the presence of God was standing stationary, they knew they were in the right place. Like if they got up in the morning and the cloud was moving, they would go, right, everybody pack up, time to go. And everybody pack down their tents. If you've ever been camping, like you will know this is a very stressful experience. Then you're half hoping, I hope this is a proper move, God. I hope you're taking somewhere. But basically, everybody would pack down and follow the presence of God. Your tent would have been pitched facing the presence of God. In a modern day language, are you waking up this each morning and looking, is your presence with me? Is your presence with me? Or has your head got turned? It says earlier in the scripture, it talks about a man called Lot. And Lot and Abraham, they divided up the space they were going to go. And Lot said, I will go this way. And Abraham said, I'll go this way. And there's this little phrase where it says, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom was renowned for its debauchery, its sin, its evil practices. Everything that was anti-God and everything God stood for was represented in the city of Sodom. It doesn't say that Lot just moved to Sodom. It says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Guess what happened? Guess where Lot ended up living? In Sodom. Why? Because each morning, he'd get up in the morning and what he was focusing on each day was something he moved towards. As opposed to Abraham, who pitched his tent and each day said, where do you want me to go, God? And the Israelites who pitched their tent towards the presence of God and woke up and said, as long as you're here, God, I'm in the right place. This is the principle. Always follow the presence of God. The practice is how you pitch your tent, how you position yourself to see what God is doing in your life. It's very easy to have your head turned. You can easily wreck your marriage by having your head turned and you start to pitch your tent towards a relationship outside your marriage. Hello? Oh, nobody knows. But in your head, your tent is in the same position geographically, but the entrance and exit is towards something else. Hello? Instead of focusing on the presence of God, let me tell you something. If you focus on the presence of God, your marriage will be restored. If you focus on the presence of God, His health and guidance and comfort and support will come to you. If you are pitching the wrong way, start pitching your tent towards the presence of God again. Start to pitch your tent and say, God, I have got this wrong. I am going to seek after you. And as you seek after Him, His will starts to outwork in the relationships you have in your life. You can get distracted. The love of money and materialism constrict you. You can have your head turned and you go, I'm not going to honour God with my money. I'm just going to look after myself here. And you're pitching the tent the wrong way. I want more likes on my social media. And what people think about me is more important. Philosophical and social trends that minimise your walk with God. Before you know it, the presence has moved and you missed it. Before you knew it, the presence of God had moved and you missed it. Because you were focusing on the wrong thing. Why do I say this? as a church, if we focus on the wrong thing, we'll miss it. There's only one focus we have, and that is on Jesus, the author and completer of our faith. When Jesus died on the cross, he forgave us of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says whoever comes to him will have their sins forgiven. The beautiful thing that also happened on that day is the Bible says the curtain into, or the door into the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. In other words, the epicenter of where God's presence dwelt was only allowed, only the only people allowed to go into that place were the high priests. But on that day, the curtains were torn, and God said, everybody is allowed in. I was imagining on if I was in the desert with the Israelites, and because it's all a pecking order, all the people who were important were closest to the presence of God, and probably me and a few others would have been right at the back on the edge just looking in, and you wake up and you're looking over someone else's tent who's got an extension, a very high chimney, like, and some exterior lights that wind you up at night, like, sorry, that's a personal issue, but and you look through and you can see the presence is going, but you can't move because everybody else is in front of you. A little bit like being a set of traffic lights in rush hour. And you see the light goes green, you're ready to go, but everybody else in front of you is just dawdling and dilly-dallying, and it's really annoying because you're ready to go, but those cars aren't moving. You have to wait. Well, here's the good news. You don't have to wait. There's no pecking order anymore. In the presence of God, there's room for everyone. Everyone. The curtain's been torn. Everybody can get prime position in the presence of God, because proximity with Jesus is the key thing in your life right now. To get close to Jesus, more important than knowing what he thinks, more important than any fancy vision or fancy building, the most important thing is the proximity with Jesus in this season. I will go where you want me to go. When I was little, I never worried about where I was. It's all about who I was with. If I had time, I'd bring up Tom and Ariella. That's Tom's daughter who was on the front row earlier. And I bet you, if Tom stood here and his three-year-old daughter ran onto the stage, what's the first thing she would do? Would she go, "Ah, I've arrived"? First thing she'll do is grab the hand of me. She grabbed the hand of Amy. Whose hand will she grab? Daddy's hand. Because who you're with is more important than where you are. It's very simple. Right now, and for the rest of our lives, there's only one person we need to get close to, into the presence of Jesus. Go and grab Daddy's hand. I'm out of time, but this is what I want to give to you. As we go into this new season, it's your proximity with Jesus that's the most important thing. Vision makes sense when you're holding the hand of the vision giver. Vision makes sense when you hold the hand of the vision giver. And the presence of God is for you. If you've been pitching your tent the wrong way, if you've been pitching your tent towards your own desires, if you are pitching your tent and you're thinking, "I am so scared, I don't want to look just in case I can't cope," all I can say to you is fix your eyes on Jesus again. Go and find Daddy's hand. Go and get close and say, "I'm not really sure what's happening, but as long as you're here, I'm in the right place. As long as you're with us, we're in the right place. As long as your presence is with us, we can do anything that you have called us to do. In Jesus' name. I love you dearly. Have a great week. God bless.
Wow. You get some of those messages where you're like, nothing's the same now. Things are different. But how exciting is that? Catching vision, catching sight of what God's saying and what God's doing, catching sight of where God's maneuvering us as a church. Daunting, that's okay. As Simon said, you're allowed to process and everyone processes differently, but exciting to hear just the heart of Simon as our leader, to hear the heart of God for this congregation, but for this city as well. God's on the move. And we're going to finish, but I don't want to move on without just extending an opportunity for those in this room who maybe there's just, as Pastor Simon was speaking, something just struck a chord there. And you went, there's two. There's either, I've pitched my tent in the opposite direction. I know where I'm looking. I know where what I'm waking up to, and I know where my focus is. But also, you've never considered what it is to have a relationship with God. And there's something about what's been shared today, and there's something about the presence in this place. There's something about your experience this morning. You go, I think I need that. I think I need that relationship with God. I need to understand that. So we're going to finish, but I don't want to move on without just giving an opportunity. So I'll just ask if everyone in this room and online as well, a chance to respond. If you'd just like to close your eyes, just to make this a personal moment. Just to make this because there's a bold decision I'm going to ask you to make. And that's this, is would you like to choose this morning to pitch your tent in a different direction? You've been trying to do it on your own. You've been focused on your own way. But this morning, you've got a chance to say, God, I don't know it all, but I know which way I should be facing. And this morning, I want to choose to face you. If that's you this morning, can I just ask you, could you just pop your hand in the air right now? And I just want to know who we're praying for. Fantastic. This is brave. This is brilliant. Wonderful. Hey, anyone else? Just an opportunity now to say, God, I don't get it all, but I'm facing this way. Wonderful. Bless you guys. It's brave. You can pop your hands down, but we're going to pray together. And I want you to pray this yourself, pray this in your heart. We say, Father God, this morning I choose to face you. I turn my back on the things that I usually turn to, and I choose to face you. I give you my life. I give you my focus. God, lead me to you in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, here, let me encourage you, please, either speak, if you came with a friend who's in church, speak to them. If not, then the team at the back, we'd love to speak to you. The other option is myself and Simon and some of the leaders. We can be down the front here. We'd love to talk with you, love to pray with you, because that decision is the start of a journey, not the end of a journey. Or maybe you're coming back to God and it's a chance just to lock in. But hey, this is a brilliant moment to do it because we are moving forward as a church. And can I encourage you, wherever you are, respond or not, you're part of this. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for where he's taking you, where he's taking this church. And we all get to play a part in it. And that's really exciting, isn't it? Wonderful. Can we honor Pastor Simon for the word this morning? Hey, listen, I know how the regard in which we hold Pastor, he is an incredible leader, but that is a weighty word. That is a lot to bring and to unload and to share. So can I encourage you, can we be praying for Simon and the team? Can we be carrying this with them? Can we carry it, make it as light as possible? Because God is on the move and we're coming with. Amen.